Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Calvary Church. We're so glad that you're here with us today. My name is Steve McDonald. I'm lead pastor here at Calvary. And whether you're here in the house, here at the main campus, in our Mandarin campus, or maybe joining us from home in our online campus, we're just so glad that we can all be together today. On this day, today, we're beginning a brand new series, a three-week vision series called Loving God, Loving People, Loving Life, leading up to our vision offering on Sunday, May the 29th. Now, although I have tried over the years to be in multiple locations all at the same time, I still have not yet to master the supernatural art of omnipresence. So today, Pastor Susan and I are joining fellow IPHC pastors and ministry coaches at a conference in Dixon, Tennessee, close to Nashville. And so this is probably the first conference we've been to since 2019. But you know what? It's equally important that I'm here with you today to kick off this new series. So I pre-recorded my message just before I left. And it's such a blessing to know that I can go away and that with our gifted pastors and our wonderful Team Calvary team, that things just continue to fire on all cylinders and things with the mission keep moving forward. You know, it's an honor. It's a great honor to lead and serve in a church like ours that is more than a church. It is a family. It is truly a family. People that are committed to working together to take the gospel to the world. Now, as a church, we're also blessed to be a part of a larger network and a family of churches across the nation and around the world. And these are people who take the Great Command and the Great Commission seriously, doing God's word as far as being doers and not just hearers of that word. So today we stand with those ministers, but we also stand with you today as our church family. And you know what? As our vision offering comes and gets closer, it allows us to take another giant leap forward in all that God has called us to accomplish. And through your generosity, we're able to effectively minister to our community, to our city, and also to improve our facilities. And so our next big project is our parking lot here at the church. After 27 years, the lot has finally come to the end of its life. And so it needs an update, needs some leveling for drainage, and needs to be completely redone. And so this project begins very soon, tomorrow actually, weather permitting. And so our hope is that in about 3 weeks, we'll have a nice new lot. So we're asking you all to be patient with us with the process as we do the necessary work to prepare what needs to be done and see it through to its completion. Now, this is a significant project as far as the price tag is concerned, as we've talked about in the past. And so our belief and hope is that over the next few years, through our vision offering, we'll completely pay for it, even maybe get it done even before that. And so would you do this? Would you pray with you and your family about what you can do to be a part of this year's vision offering and to be committed to it each year, to do something significant over and above your regular tithes and offerings so that together we can move this mission forward? Honestly, I can say we cannot do it without you. This is another practical way that we can continue to minister to families, to singles, to seniors, to young adults, to kids, all of us working together. So let's believe for a miracle day of giving on the 29th. But before we jump into the Word of God today, let's just take a moment and pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather as a church family, to know that wherever we are, that, Lord, we stand better together. Today, I pray that your word would do exactly what it's been intended to do, that anointed word would change us and transform us, that you would increase in our lives and we would decrease, that today your vision would be crystal clear, that our love for you would be focused and our love for one another would flow from that love. We believe for great things at the end of the month for our vision offering as we believe for a miracle. And we thank you for the generosity of this church to do all that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, when Jesus was asked during his earthly ministry what mattered most, he quickly said two things: love God, love people. Today we start this three-week series, Loving God, Loving People, Loving Life, as we look closer at the significance of these two commands and how they affect this amazing life that you and I have been blessed to live. So if you've got your Bibles today, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Let's look at chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: teacher, which is the greatest or the most important commandment in the law? Jesus replied without hesitation, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, this was a kind of a drop the mic, walk away moment. This guy was hoping to catch Jesus in his words. Instead, Jesus nailed a very strong and serious truth. The scripture serves as one of the foundational pillars to the mission of our Calvary Church family: to love God, to love people, while leading them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now, many people today, when they're asked about their love for God, they're quick to say, yeah, I love God. It's something that just seems like a given for many. But if you love God, you'll love what he loves. Now, that's an equally simple and complex statement, because loving God is one thing, but loving what he loves is not automatic. It's a decision. It's something that we have to be deliberate about. Now, as I think back to the last conference that I've been to with our team, we were in the States. I think it was in Tacoma, and the morning sessions had ended, and we were getting ready for lunch. And there was a short kind of window of time to get our lunch. They didn't want people leaving the property because we wanted to come back and get started for the afternoon. And so they provided boxed lunches for everybody. And so we quickly made our way to the foyer to pick up a boxed lunch. And so as quick as we grabbed our lunch, we then made our way outside. It was a beautiful, sunny summer day. And I was looking for the shade. I'm not good in the full sun, you know, the burning happens very quickly. And so I quickly was kind of scurrying around trying to find a table that was big enough for the members of our team. And so I saw one, and I dropped my lunch and put it right on the table. What I didn't realize is there was a guy very close behind me. I mean, very close behind me. And he quickly and loudly said to his wife, he took my seat. Like he was upset. He was vexed about this. And then I said, oh man, I'm sorry. I didn't see you there. And then he annoyingly replied, no, you're not. You're not sorry. And I'm like, wow. This thing has gone from 0 to 100 in a split second. And so I tried to kind of diffuse the situation. I said, listen, man, you can have the table. And he refused. He was so upset. He grumbled. And then he went to a table that was like 2 or 3 feet away from where he was standing. Now, this guy had just come out of a session where we were talking as leaders about loving God, about loving God's people. And here he is losing his mind. He's losing his salvation because I beat him to a seat. Come on, man. I mean, this guy was likely a pastor because many of the people that were at this conference were leaders and pastors. And I felt like saying, man, what happened to preferring your brother? What happened to loving your neighbor as yourself? If you love God, you'll love what he loves. Sadly, sometimes people, they say they love God, but they get easily distracted by things in life and even within the church, and they really kind of lose their way. They get caught up focusing on things that have no eternal value whatsoever. Now, in that same conference in the evening service, Susan and I were sitting in front of another couple, and every time the pastor would say something, it seemed like this guy was kind of under his breath correcting him. And so the pastor was taking the offering, and he was talking about, okay, we're going to pass the buckets around now. Please put your offering in the bucket. Every time the pastor said bucket, this guy would say container. And the pastor would say it again, please pass the bucket to the next person, container. This guy did not like the word bucket, apparently, and all he could focus on was trying to correct the man by saying container. You know, some people love to criticize, to nitpick, and many times people focus on things that have no value whatsoever. If you love God, you'll love what he loves. You know, our main text today tells the story of the same kind of people who gathered around Jesus in his day. People fighting for the best seat. People arguing over containers and buckets. As a matter of fact, in this moment, there was people arguing about whether religious people should pay taxes to the government or who would be married to who when they got to heaven. Then one of the religious men of the time, who the Bible says was an expert in the law, in an effort to catch Jesus, maybe unprepared, asked him what may have been the toughest question of all. What is the most important of all the commandments? I love the fact that Jesus did not hesitate to answer this question. I think maybe he was probably relieved that finally somebody had asked him a question with some teeth in it, a question with substance. And again, this was his immediate reply in verses 37 to 38. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, according to Jesus, what's absolutely essential is loving God first, and then loving what he loves, loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so those three relationships with God, with our neighbors, and even with ourselves, really sum up everything that's ever been said or written about God's will for the world. And it serves as the foundation of this three-week series that we're in. Now today, our focus in episode one is on the greatest command of loving God. You know, when you love someone, you begin to appreciate and love things that maybe you didn't before. Maybe when you develop a new friendship or something more significant, your love for that person extends to the things that they appreciate and love. The kind of music they listen to, the kind of movies they watch, or the activities that they involve themselves in. You begin to share these experiences together, and you start loving them too. Now, when we truly love God, we'll love what he loves. And according to John 3:16, he loves this world. He loves people. So much so that he gave his only son to redeem it. We also know that he loves the church. He calls the church his bride. That's a type of relationship, an intimate, close, caring relationship that he shows in expressing his love for the church. So you and I, in turn, we need to love the people of this world who are lost without him, and also share that deep love, care, and compassion for one another in our church family. If you love God, you'll love what he loves. You know, there's a very famous passage of scripture in Proverbs that details what God hates. Now, these strong emotions that are listed here are not the product of a dark and hateful heart, but a loving heart. You see, throughout the Bible, God shows no reluctance to speak against the things that he's not a fan of, the things that he detests that separate him from his people. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16, says, "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him." Strong words. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. That's what God hates. But what does God love? Because if we are to truly love him, we need to love what he loves. So while we're avoiding the bad list, is there a good list that we can work from one step at a time to be more like him? Well, I believe we can kind of reverse engineer Proverbs 6:16-19, kind of like the opposite side of the coin, to discern what God loves, what he values. For instance, verse 17 says, God hates haughty eyes or an arrogant or superior attitude. Therefore, number one, God loves eyes that see with humility. Not a false humility, despising yourself, but a genuine Christ-like choice to serve other people. Not to draw undue attention to yourself or to me all the time, but to treat others with great honor and respect. Then in verse 17, it also says that God hates a lying tongue. So therefore, number two, God loves a tongue that speaks truth. Now, it doesn't say a harsh tongue or a loud tongue or an opinionated kind of truth teller tongue, but a lying tongue. So God loves and values a person who speaks his truth in love. Very interesting. These are the things that need to be reflected even within not only our home and our community, but our church community. Then also in verse 17, it says, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Therefore, number three, God loves hands which protect the innocent. So throughout Scripture, God's compassion for the defenseless, for the innocent, it's very clear. His love for the orphan, for the immigrant, for the mourning, for the widow, for the poor. This is the same love that you will see and experience in every ministry of our church. It's the same love, care, and compassion that you'll see represented in our small groups, which I encourage you. Listen, when it comes to the vision of our church, we believe that Sunday is a day of celebration where we come and worship God together to hear from his word. But when we gather with our community of faith, that's where we go deeper in our relationship and our care for one another, and even in our understanding of the word. Verse 18, it says, God hates a heart that devises wicked schemes. Therefore, number four, God loves a heart which dreams up good plans. God loves our desire to serve, our desire to help, to minister. This is really the example of Christ himself. He delights when our hearts long to carry out plans of goodness, of righteousness, of peace. Verse 18, God hates feet that are quick to rush into evil. Again, God loves feet that run to goodness. Where we choose to walk today in our lives can define who we are as a person. Will we choose to walk away from those dumb arguments, or we stay to prove a point, to win a fight? Will we choose to chase after those people that we've wronged and seek out their forgiveness? Will we allow our steps to be ordered of the Holy Spirit, or will we wander off into our own selfish desires? God loves those whose feet run to goodness. Verse 19, God hates a false witness who pours out lies. Therefore, number six, God loves the trustworthy, those who speak the truth. We've been called to be people of integrity, people of faith, people of honor. The greatest witness we can be is a faithful witness of God's redeeming work in our lives. Will we stand boldly and speak the truth of God's word in the ever-changing world that we're living in? The landscape is constantly shifting, but his word remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then finally in verse 19, it says that God hates a person who stirs up conflict in a community. Therefore, number seven, God loves a peacekeeper. It's really only possible to spread peace or strife. Every word we speak contributes one of these two attitudes in every relationship that we have. And God loves those who value and fight for peace over proving a point, over being heard, over manipulating or gaslighting someone into believing something that isn't true. With one word at a time, God wants us to change our attitude and sow seeds of peace in our church community, in our families, and in the community at large. If you love God, you'll love what He loves. So, loving God is really a call to action. Jesus demonstrated His love for the Father in how He lived His life. Jesus loved who and what the Father loved. That's why loving others flows out of our love for Him first, which we're going to talk about a little bit more next week in loving people, when we see that God's heart is in the people that He sent His Son to die for. In Bob Goff's book, Everybody Always, he explains how God wants us to put our love into action. He talks about the struggle that we have with hearing God's voice and knowing what next steps that we should take. He says this: what a shame it would be if we were waiting for God to say something while He's been waiting on us to do something. Don't sit around waiting for God to give some new revelation or some opportunity you've never had before for you to make a difference. See, He's already spoke to us. He's already given us His word. Now what we need to do is do it. Do the stuff He's called us to do. Out of your great love for God, take action. Take action with the opportunities that you've already been given, the opportunities that are in your path, the people that God has placed in your life, to care about what He cares about, to love who He loves. Let those opportunities become a part of your story. So, here's my challenge as we bring this in for a landing today. Pick one thing, just one thing that God loves, and look for ways to implement that into your daily life, into your family, into your marriage, into your church community, into whatever team that you're serving on. Look for ways to work those things into your life. Because if you love God, you love what He loves. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for the love that You have for us. Today we proclaim our love for You, and we are committed to love what You love, to make important what is important to You. Help us as we serve within our church community to be active in the mission that You've called us to love You with our whole heart, to love the people that are around us, and to love this life, this gift You've given us to make a difference. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.